While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, Brianna Morello tells you the truth about what's happening next on Good Morning InfoWars.
Good morning, InfoWars. Happy Saturday, everyone. Thanks for jumping on with us. Of course, a lot to dive into, a lot of headlines we're following. We've got a jam-packed show for you coming your way in just a few moments. But let's dive into what we've got our eye on. The Office of Special Counsel is investigating Jack Smith for possible violations to the Hatch Act. Now, if you recall, the Hatch Act is the law that limits political activities by government employees. Now, if you also recall, Jack Smith is the hack who went after President Donald Trump by leading two criminal investigations into Joe Biden's political opposition. He was the lead prosecutor in the classified documents case, as well as the January 6th case against President Trump. Now, both cases were dismissed, but it's refreshing to see that we're at least starting off by going after Smith. Now let's turn to Secret Service, because that's where former Secret Service Director Kimberly Chetley has just had her security clearance revoked, and she will not have it renewed. That's according, again, to another report. The General Account Office report requested that Senator Chuck Grassley and others release the Butler assassination anniversary, which revealed a lot of the key details in all of this and how top Secret Service officials really missed out on letting federal and local officials know about the Iranian threat. Now, as many of you guys know, there was an Iranian threat on President Trump's life that was issued 10 days prior to that Butler rally, and they never told local and federal law enforcement agents about that. And obviously, that is the reason why the director is no longer in her position. We'll be talking about the assassination attempt on President Trump's life, both of them, later in the show with Ken Silva in just a few moments. Now let's turn to AG Pam Bondi, because she's now instructing investigators to look into a potential election fraud going on all around the country, but specifically non-U.S. citizens voting in federal elections. The probe aligns with President Donald Trump's look at enforcing federal election laws. The DOJ's Civil Rights Division is primarily leading these investigations, and they just want to make sure that everyone on the voter rolls is an American citizen. That's a good place to start. A little delayed, but we're optimistic that they'll continue to push for election integrity. Now let's turn to Washington State, because you might have missed this criminal trial. It just concluded, and the results of it are absolutely shocking. A Muslim couple who allegedly was looking to kill one of their daughters in an honor killing, but they were just found not guilty by a jury. They were accused of attempting to strangle their teenage daughter in the honor killing in front of her high school. This happened last year. You probably recall this shocking video. Well, they were just found not guilty of attempted murder. Now, it's important to note the reason why they were found not guilty of attempted murder. The judge wouldn't allow the terms arranged marriage or honor killing to be used during their criminal trial. The incident occurred last fall. Allegedly, the 17-year-old girl, she refused to marry an older man in Iraq, and that's what triggered her parents, allegedly. Now, after 3 days of jury deliberation, they came back with that not guilty agreement on the attempted murder. Now, they were found guilty on other charges, but the most severe charge, not guilty. The viral video showed the daughter collapsing on the pavement, with prosecutors stating that her father continued to strangle her unconscious body for nearly 20 seconds. That's according to several reports. Witnesses also reported that the father refused to release the daughter even after her body went limp. Now let's turn to Minnesota, because as you and I both know, there is a huge issue with Somalians in Minnesota. And we have another Somalian man who is an issue. He was just recently convicted of raping a 12-year-old girl after abducting her from her backyard. Now, please bear with me while we do this pronouncer. It is Kayleen Lee and D-Ree. I can't even pronounce this. But the suspect in all of this case has been sentenced to 12 years in prison for the heinous crime. The worst part about it, though, a Minnesota Islamic Center actually wrote a gushing letter in support of the Somalian man, saying that it wasn't really his fault. Now, obviously, folks, that excuse doesn't fly. The victim's brother actually intercepted with the father and ended up getting the suspect to come down to their house, where he was later arrested. And now he'll be spending 12 years in federal prison. We have a lot going on later on the show, folks. A lot of great guests lined up for you. We'll dive into that in just a few moments.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. You have 7 days from this date to buy one bottle of any of our amazing supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the list goes on and on, Ultimate Life Force, and get a bottle absolutely free. But you gotta be a VIP. But that's the best part. This catch is a great deal. You spend $30 a month being a subscriber, and cancel any time, and you get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers just sent to you, and you can cancel any time. So you make $10 by becoming a subscriber, you can cancel any time. This is only running for 7 days. Experience Ultramethylene Blue. Experience the other incredible supplements. But also, the buy one, get one free goes for the ball caps, the t-shirts, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Those of you who've ever gotten products, now's the time. It'll blow you away. Get the Methylene Blue, bare minimum, at thealexofstore.com.
Good morning, InfoWars. Your source for uncensored truth this morning is Brianna Morello.
Oh, man, guys. When we talk about uncensored truth, we mean it on this show because the corporate media is not going to tell you about those two assassination attempts against President Donald Trump, but we will on this show. Thank you for joining me. Now, folks, we have to talk about what happened, obviously, because the mainstream media, like I said, is trying to avoid it. But Judge Eileen Cannon just said something in court that's very shocking. She's allowing the DOJ to keep evidence in the alleged would-be assassination attempt on President Trump's life regarding the Ryan Roth case. She's allowing to keep it secretive on grounds that it discloses so-called secret and damaging information that could actually be a national security threat. Now, what exactly is going on here? Well, Ken Silva is the man who is following all of this over at Headline USA. And he's going to break down this latest shocking report that he just dropped. Ken, thanks for joining the program. You know, I find it very, very shocking that Judge Cannon is allowing the DOJ to keep certain elements to this case secretive. What's going on here?
Well, yeah, indeed, it's a very troubling development. And first of all, thank you for having me on, because this is really an important issue. So Judge Cannon made her ruling pursuant to a law called the Classified Information Procedures Act, which was passed in the 1980s, and it was initially designed to kind of protect like FISA intercepts. So if the NSA is spying on a terrorist overseas and they eventually arrest that guy, they can keep the intelligence information separate from the actual criminal case that they built against the terrorists. However, in the advent of social media, instant text messages, apps like Signal and WhatsApp, the FBI has frankly bastardized this law to protect all text messages between undercover informants and their targets, which we know they make dozens of these cases every month. Whether that was the case in the Ruth case, was he talking to an undercover informant or agent? We don't know, but we know a long list of cases where this has been the case. The most notorious one was the Pulse nightclub shooting in 2017. It later broke that the shooter's father was an FBI informant. Well, that was something that was initially hidden under this Classified Information Procedures Act. Perhaps an even more egregious case was the 2015 shooting in Garland, Texas, where it was later revealed that one of the shooters was in touch with an undercover FBI agent who, quote, told him to go tear up Garland. This was like a huge scandal where the FBI was directly provoking terrorism. And this was all hidden under the same law, the Classified Information Procedures Act. The last example is another Trump assassination case where a supposed Iranian assassination plot was taking place last year. Two of the so-called hitmen that were targeting Trump were, again, undercover FBI agents. And we don't know all these recordings or what they told their target, again, because of this same law. So it's really, it seems totally unconstitutional, outdated. It needs to be updated for transparency. And we need to know, why was there classified information in Ruth's case? And was he talking to feds?
Yeah. And I think that's really important. And, you know, the President Trump's administration continues to say that they are the most transparent of them all. But this is his own DOJ doing this and pushing for this. And so I would like to see that change because these are the things that the American people need to know. And I think it's very important that we do. I also want to turn to something else before we go, because I think this one's really important. You did an incredible report just a few days ago in regards to Thomas Crooks. Now, that is the deceased Trump assassination attempt, the individual who was the suspect who is now deceased, I refer to that too. But ultimately, we're talking now about the medical examiner issue here. There was a piece of his toxicology report that was omitted, and you guys got your hands on this over at headlineusa.com. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's correct. We were the ones that published the autopsy and toxicology exams last October. It was like a 3-month legal fight just to get these documents. When I first obtained them, I just kind of threw them out online and said, you know, hey, this is the evidence. People want to know more about Thomas Crooks. This is what's in the reports. I didn't even notice some of the strange anomalies until about a week ago. And what I'm referring to is specifically in his toxicology report, which I've got in front of me. There are 8 specimens listed that were taken from the shooter, Thomas Crooks. We've got 4 vials of heart blood. They took some urine, some eye fluid, some bile, and an envelope of his hair. Now, when you look at the findings underneath the specimens, it lists 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. So they're not listing 3 of the specimens. They're not listing 1 of the vials of blood. They're not listing the bile, and I believe it might be the eye fluid is the other missing specimen. And if you do a little bit of Googling and research, bile and hair specifically would indicate whether the shooter was on some kind of psychotropic drugs or other mind-altering substances. So whether the medical examiner tested for these substances and didn't include them in his report, or he didn't test them at all, either way, to me, this is a huge scandal. I mean, it was revealed last year that they didn't test for psychotropics. That was a big deal. But at the time, I was told, well, it was clear that he was shot through the neck, so they're not going to go above and beyond. But now, when you look at the report, it's like they purposely left certain items off. And, yeah, I think Congress needs to do something. This seems like a real scandal to me.
Yeah, no, it does seem like a real scandal, and they do need to do something about this. You know, we need transparency. People continue to call us conspiracy theorists for not believing what we're being told, but they need to show the evidence. We know we can't trust our government, both federal and local, and so we ask for the most basic pieces of information, and we really hope that they do that. Ken, I want to thank you for joining me. Of course, you're doing incredible work over at headlineusa.com. Make sure you check it out. Give him a follow on X as well. I'm telling you, he's ahead of everyone else. There's a lot of stories that people aren't going to cover. He covers it, so make sure you give him a follow on X. Now, I wanted to turn to Brazil because, folks, President Trump is really going aggressively hard right now over at the dictators in Brazil. I'm saying dictators plural because they have a president who's currently sitting and pretending to be president, but they also have a corrupt Supreme Court. Now, as many of you guys know, there's been a war on censorship, and it's been outrageous to watch over the last few years. The former president, Bolsonaro, is being targeted because they don't like what he's done. He is pretty much the Brazilian version of President Donald Trump. And so when we talk about lawfare, that's exactly what they're looking to do against him. They're looking to target him. They want to throw him in prison and his entire family. They have all been the victims of lawfare. Well, the White House is pushing back, and they just recently announced 50% tariffs and sanctions overseeing investigation against Bolsonaro, for those who are participating in the investigation against Bolsonaro, will be sanctioned. And then it's very important because it's not just President Trump who's looking to push back on all of this. Thankfully, we have brave members over at the European Parliament who are looking to push back, 16 of them, sending a letter saying that they also want the EU to look into possibly sanctioning the Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes and his close allies for what they've done to the Bolsonaro family. Now, this is, again, very important that we even talk about this, because this is the war that's going on right now in Brazil. It's a censorship war. They've sent dozens of letters to social media companies trying to get these critics of theirs censored so you don't know the truth. But it's refreshing to see that the EU is looking to push back. Joining me now to discuss is Dominic Tarzinski. He is an EU Parliament member, and he's with us now. Dominic,
good morning,
can you hear
Brianna.
Me?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, I can hear you.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. I wanted to thank you guys for putting together this list because this list is very, very important. This letter specifically in regards to how we should be able to push back. We've got about 1 minute. I'm going to hold you on after the commercial break, but give us a brief summary of what you guys are looking to do at the EU to hold Brazil accountable.
Very straight. We want Moraes to be sanctioned the same way as U.S. sanctioned him. I used to live under communism. I know what a communism is and what they are doing now to Bolsonaro family as a pure communism. We're going to fight it. We're going to fight it in European Parliament, but also here in Poland. I'm in the Polish Parliament now, in the gardens of Polish Parliament. I'm having a meeting just after our conversation with the Polish MPs. So we're going to act. We're going to react. This is communism. This is terror. This is political terror. And we have to react. This is not about Brazil only. This is about whole conservative movement around the world.
Dominic, stay with me because I want to bring you back on because there's a lot more I want to talk about with you right after this commercial break. So stay right there.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. He stated, quote, "Depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world," end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, "In earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people than to physically kill 1 million people." He said, "But now it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than it is to control," end quote.
It was easier to control 1 million people, literally. It was easier to control 1 million people than physically to kill 1 million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that. You think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They say these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
Guys, joining me yet again. A lot to go through. We were just speaking with Dominic Tarzinski, and he's still with us. In regards to Brazil, now obviously the Bolsonaro family has been targeted by their corrupt Supreme Court justice. No surprise there. We talk about that one quite often. But the reality of it is this is a global issue, as Dominic was just saying, and it just doesn't just have to do with Brazil. So, Dominic, thank you for sticking with us throughout the break. We appreciate that. You are a member of the EU Parliament, so it's good to hear your perspective on all of this. You're saying that this isn't just about Bolsonaro itself. This is a global issue. Tell us a little bit about what you mean about
that. It is. It is. It is much more important than, I mean, obviously, Brazil is important. Bolsonaro family is important. But since Donald Trump won the election, the leftists around the world went crazy. They know that they are losing power around the world. And I can see the reactions in the European Union. I can see how they react on every election in a member state's country. So I know that if we will not stop them in Brazil, this cancer of communism will spread around the world. Because as I said before, to me, the way they behave, the way they treat Bolsonaro family is just a communism. As I said, I used to live under communism. I know how the communists fight against the political opponents. They freeze your bank account. They want to jail you. It's the same thing. It happens in U.S. Look, they tried to get rid of Trump. They tried to get rid of him. They tried to get him out of the ballot. Then, J6ers, it's the same thing. They jailed people. So, as I see our war, because it is actual a political war, it's a global war against leftism, and we have to stick together. That's why, thank you, Brianna. Thank you for covering it. Because, thank you, InfoWars, because this is actually a war. When someone is trying to jail you, if they are trying to get rid of the free speech, when they paid a visit to President Bolsonaro while he was in the hospital after very serious time in a hospital, that was inhuman. That was the way the communists behaved. So they want to get rid of Brazil. They know exactly what is going to happen after the elections. They know that Bolsonaro is going to win. They know that Bolsonaro and Brazil will be a great ally to U.S., to Donald Trump. They know that this is going to be a huge support for conservative movement around the world. That is why after election in Poland, presidential election, we won. We've got a conservative president. We are going to fight step by step for other countries to bring back sanity, to bring back common sense, to bring back normality. And Brazil is very important at the moment.
Yeah, it is very important. And when we talk about that too, you know, I saw as your election was getting very, very close, our Barack Obama and John Kerry tried their very best to weigh in on your elections just days before. So I'm glad it worked out in the conservative favor.
This is why we have to react. This is why we have to be active. This is what we heard from Alex Jones just a couple minutes ago. He says be active, be very much active. So again, thank you for covering it. Thank you to InfoWars for covering it. It's very important. I mean, not many journalists are interested to say what is going on in Brazil. And this is, again, this is a communism. They want to jail them. They want to get rid of them. They are trying to stop them from running. As you know, Eduardo Bolsonaro is in U.S. now. His passport was seized. And this is communism. We have to fight them. So I'm going to use every tool to fight for freedom, to fight for freedom of speech, to fight for the conservatism, for common sense.
Yeah, and we all need to stick together in this fight. Dominic Tarzinski, thank you for joining us. We appreciate
your time
as always. our friend over in Poland. And we greatly appreciate it. Folks, it's a long battle and we need to be able to fight it. I mean, here in the United States, we constantly are telling you guys all at home about this one world order. And unfortunately, I'm starting to get a little bit down. I don't know if our current officials understand what we're really up against. And we've got some brave individuals, though. They're watchdog groups and they're trying their best to hold government officials accountable. It doesn't matter what administration it is. They're doing their part. The great folks over at the Oversight Project are doing just that. They just recently tried to refer Christopher Wray, the former FBI director, to the DOJ over claims that he misled lawmakers regarding that Catholic memo. Now, you guys know Kyle Serafin, the FBI whistleblower, brought this to our attention when he exposed the corruption, of course. And Christopher Wray may have lied under oath. That's still up for debate, but that's the reason why you need an investigation. I don't even know if it's up for debate anymore. I just think we all kind of know it by now. But interesting enough, folks, we are trying our very best to get accountability. And the people over at the Oversight Project are doing just that as well. Joining me now to discuss is the president of the Oversight Project. Mike Howell joins the program. He is going to detail what this all means. Mike, I want to thank you for joining us because we are sitting here and we're wondering, well, when the heck is the DOJ going to react? When are they going to start moving? I mean, I haven't heard any whispers about any grand juries in D.C., so I'm getting a little nervous. Maybe there's grand juries going on outside the D.C. area, but normally you'd hear something. But it looks like your group is moving forward and trying to make sure that Christopher Wray is held accountable and expose the fact that he lied under oath. So tell us a little bit about this latest news.
Yeah, so we referred Christopher Wray for investigation and potential prosecution because he deserves it, and he broke the law when he misled Congress about two major things. One of them being the existence of a massive Chinese plot with 20,000 fake IDs in advance of the 2020 election to help Joe Biden. He knew about it. It's very clear in the record. And when asked by Congress, he said there were no major threats. It's kind of pretty simple. And then with the Catholic memo that has been discussed so much, Grassley said he lied about it. Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, said he lied about it. And so we're sitting here saying, okay, it's great that, you know, national leaders and people of authority are saying he lied to Congress about it. Here's the criminal referral. We're trying to jog the system. It's like the meme with the person with the stick saying, do something. And so we're trying to get things into the system that actually can move towards accountability and prosecution.
Yeah, Mike, why is it that there's nothing really, I mean, we don't really see much going on. I know we see our officials, individuals like FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino and Kash Patel telling us just to wait, that there's things going on behind the scenes. But I mean, when the previous administration was in power, you know, Merrick Garland had over 400 J6 arrests in his, under his belt. And so we saw the results of that, but we're not really seeing anything here. What do you think is leading to all of that? Like, do you really think that there's something happening behind the scenes?
No, I don't. And if there were, we'd know about it. And I don't think it would be through intimations and like goofy tweets from, you know, the FBI about knowing something but not being able to tell us, like seems to be the pattern. It would be from the left leaking it. If a grand jury was convened or any movement was taken, there'd be a full on onslaught press about President Trump weaponizing, you know, the Department of Justice and so forth. And so rest assured, if something was happening, we'd know because it would be weaponized back against the Trump administration. I think ultimately what's happening is they are hoping that just disclosure and shiny object transparency along the way will satiate people's need for accountability. I think that's a fundamental mistake. Why they're doing that, I think it's because it's really hard to bring accountability. You need full political control of the Department of Justice, and I think other priorities get in the way. And I don't think that this is a DOJ that truly has prioritized accountability. I think they want a head nod to it, use it rhetorically on Fox News and such, but clearly it's not the where the muscle movement is going. And I think that is going to be a huge political failure if it doesn't change.
Yeah, Mike, and we're hoping for change, and we're hoping that public pressure kind of inspires that change. We saw it with the Epstein document dump that never really came, and now we're seeing a little bit of movement on that. So I think public pressure works. So thank you for all the great work you guys are doing over at the Oversight Project. We greatly appreciate it because you guys are creating the pressure that we need to get things done. Mike, thanks for joining the program today. We have another breaking story coming up in just a few moments, so stick with us.
Christian murderers gone, there on giant death factories keeping babies alive. You're selling that body part. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green and looking skin, and they run agreement. We love Satan. We wanna eat babies. I have them on video.
I love Satan, so thank you.
I kill my kids.
Hillary's in the creepy, weird, sick stuff, man.
We came, we saw, he died.
She sleeps in the same room with that creepy, weird woman whose mother wears a hood over her head. That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
There's a guy on the radio who apparently Trump's on his show frequently. He says, me and Hillary are demons. Said we smell like sulfur. Ain't that something?
I have never seen or smelled any woman like that, ever.
People are telling me she smells.
Who could not notice someone who smelled that bad?
In a room, vampire, hot dead goblins, hobbling round, coming after us. My spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. We're such self-centered crap. We don't even notice and it's rising up against us. Millions of pointed people of the very worst type, and I'm so pissed. We're gonna steal your daughter at the mall. Oh, oh, oh. We're gonna steal your wife, your son. Ooh. We're gonna stab you with a butcher knife, and then the police chief is gonna say, we love our Somalis, we love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet.
I was watching Fox News as I worked out this morning, and they had the police chief on making excuses from that town of Minnesota. And they had the Fox News host, this is the Fair and Balanced channel, going, Donald Trump really stepped in at this time. He said it was a bombing before it had officially been called a bombing, and Hillary's on him, and she's got some really good points.
Historians have pointed it out for thousands of years. Most people, when history is happening right in front of them, don't realize it until later. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has changed the world. You are the InfoWar. You're the eyes and ears. You're the reason we're on the air. You're the reason we're having so much success. And the bad guys hate InfoWars above all other independent populist media. So we want to keep us on the air and take part in history. We have a limited edition, murdered out InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you get all the other apparel for way lower prices. We've got a big deal going right now where you buy one, you get one free if you're a VIP. That's incredible for the supplements as well. But with this shirt, we've marked it up a bit for those of you that really want to support the InfoWar and get this limited edition shirt. So get your InfoWars limited edition murdered out shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a limited edition. Thanks for your support, and thanks for being part of history.
Other networks lie to you about what's happening now. Brianna Morello tells you the truth about what's happening next on Good Morning InfoWars.
There are so many mainstream media outlets that won't even cover stories that we're about to cover because they're too afraid. They're too afraid, but we are fearless on Good Morning InfoWars. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for jumping on with me. I've got an exclusive story that I broke to you on the independentnewsroom.com just a few days ago. U.S. Air Marshals who are being flown on those deportation flights are being told by their supervisor, their director, to go on those flights unarmed. Now, they're also being forced to do hair lice checks and to hand out juice box to the deportees. Now, I asked DHS about these accusations, specifically about the email that I received that specifically had the director of the air marshals telling these individuals to go on these flights unarmed, and DHS did not respond to my request for comment. But someone Who will respond to my request for comment is Sonia Labosco. She is the director of Air Marshal National Council. She's also a retired supervisor over at the Federal Air Marshal, and she joins us now to discuss. Sonia, I can't believe it, but they're asking your air marshals to fly on these dangerous deportation flights unarmed, and they're also telling them to check for head lice. What the heck's going on here?
I mean, Brianna, is this the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life? You're going to remove your elite workforce, number one, from carrying guns on a commercial aircraft to protect American citizens. Number two, you're going to disarm them and have them on the tarmac doing lice checks. Lice checks, for God's sake. Don't they have a contractor that they're paying like $1 billion to be doing these things? Why, once again, are we revisiting the situation where the air marshals are not being used to stop another 9/11?
Yeah. And it's frustrating because I reached out to DHS for comment on this and they didn't really want to say much. But you know, other individuals have assured me that they do take security seriously and they wouldn't disclose information like that to me as a journalist. But the email itself that the director of the air marshal sent out in regards to all of this, telling these air marshals that they have to fly on these planes without their firearms. I mean, they're going to third world countries that are ran by the cartels. What kind of dangers await them when those doors open?
Well, there's a lot, Brianna. And another thing that the agency won't tell you is they cut all their communications off. So when they're flying into another country, they disabled their cell phones. So they don't even have a way to communicate with anyone if anything goes wrong while they're in some of these violent third world countries. The other big problem that I'm having with this entire thing, number one, you're unarming the air marshals. But number two, you're using them as a contract security guard where you're already paying $1 billion to Geo Group to provide these functions. While they've decided to supplement the air marshals again, you know, we went through this in the last administration, removing the air marshals from the border. It is wrong. Anybody that thinks taking the air marshals out of the air, not protecting the American people, their decision is stupid. It's stupid and it's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And Sonia, you know, you've been on the ball with all of this. And I wanted to, before we wrap, I wanted to thank you for your hard work, because for a lot of our audience members, you probably don't realize, but Sonia's been the voice, the main person trying to end the TSA terror watch list known as the Quiet Skies program. If you at home had a four, like the little four S's in the corner of your boarding pass, Sonia was actively looking to get that shut down. She's done incredible work. And just recently, the Trump administration shut that down. So Sonia, as we wrap up, we've got about 15 seconds, but I want to thank you for all of your hard work on making sure that got shut down, because you and I worked together on exposing the fact that Tulsi Gabbard was on that list, and now we have you to thank. So thank you so much for your hard work.
Hey, we couldn't have done it without you, Brianna. Keep fighting.
Sonia, I love to work beside you, lady. You are a powerhouse. So thank you so much. Sonia Labosco, everyone. She is really, I mean it. I'm not even trying to fluff her up because she's a friend of mine. She is the person who is behind all of that. I know many of you guys who were on the J6 terror watch list that they had created were probably victims of the Biden regime adding you to that watch list. But again, folks, that is the woman who got it shut down. The Trump administration just announcing that that was no longer. And so we're very thankful for that. Let's turn to Russiagate, because it's a story we've been telling you, I've been telling you, InfoWars been telling you about for years now, but all of a sudden, everyone's starting to talk about it like it's something new. DNI's Tulsi Gabbard has been releasing tons of documents, and well, there's a lot going on with that. Joining me to discuss is Steve Dace. He is one of the great hosts over at The Blaze TV, and he's with us now because, Steve, I mean, I'm sitting here watching everyone as they're reacting to what's coming out, and they're all acting like it's breaking news, but we've known about this for years now. We've known exactly what was happening behind the scenes during the Obama years and what Hillary Clinton was doing, but we're now seeing some documents in regards to all of this. So do you think this is overhype, or do you think the attention it's getting now is warranted?
I think the attention it is getting now is warranted, but we're about to find out whether it's overhyped. You know, there was a saying, Brianna, when we were kids, picks or it didn't happen, right? Okay. I'm at the stage now, arrests or it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Arrests or it doesn't matter. And, you know, behind any human enterprise is what's called a social compact, whether that's a marriage, whether that's a business, whether that's a country. You know, there's a reason why our Constitution begins with the words, we the people, because the people existed before the Constitution. The Constitution was made for the people, not the people for the Constitution. And there was a pre-existing ethos, a social compact. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator, with certain inalienable rights, right? Well, after that battle was won over that mission statement, the Constitution comes along and says, in light of this social compact, here's now how we will live together and govern ourselves. What has happened in our political duopoly is one side has shredded that social compact. It's a little bit like a marriage where one of the spouses has just decided to openly cheat on the other, even in broad daylight, even in their own master bedroom. And the other spouse is just still continuing on, following to the upteenth codicil of the spirit of every stipulation of the marriage covenant while it's been completely defecated on by the other party. And so we cannot have a situation where one side gets to shoot our candidates, gets to try to put our candidates in prison over undisclosed campaign, or hush money bribes from 20 years ago, of meager amounts in the grand scheme of things, but prison for 93 years for such things, where we can just take your people, and if they pray the things we don't like, say the things that we don't like, essentially arrest them and put them in prison. We cannot have one side do that. Orchestrate an entire treasonous plot in order to stillborn a presidency with a fake impeachment that was completely colluded upon. The only collusion was between the media industrial complex and the intelligence community and the Democratic Party. You can't have that and then expose that and then let people see that and then do nothing. You just can't. You know, and I think the culture is a powder keg. And a lot of times, you know, people went about their business as well until the shots were fired at Fort Sumter. You know, a lot of times you don't see the signs of the times that are happening underneath you until they erupt in broad daylight. And this idea that the side of the country that owns 300 million guns, Brianna, is just going to sit here for an indefinite period of time because the NFL's that much fun and Marvel movies are just that cool. And they're just going to say, you know what? You go ahead. You trans our kids. No, I mean, doctors, nobody goes to jail. You shoot our candidates. You commit treason. Nobody goes to jail. You lie to us. You steal from us. Nobody goes to jail. That's just not how human nature works. And so we have a very limited window. I'm a grandpa now. I'm sending my adult children off into the world. And so I'm thinking a lot about the future just beyond the next election cycle. And this idea, you know, I know this audience is aware, but I don't know how many people in the normie community truly understand how angry the young men of the right really are. Well, I'm raising one of them. One of them's about to leave my home, so I see it firsthand. The anger of when my son comes to me and says, wait a minute, I got to make $35,000 a year not to live in an apartment in a slum in Des Moines, Iowa, where I live? Yeah, pretty much. All right. The anger is palpable. They want accountability. And they want people who did this to their way of life. Who are also very involved in the plot that you're talking about, they want them to pay a penalty. And so enough rally chants, enough talking points, enough engagement farming off of this stuff. It is time for consequences. Otherwise, what is the point of any of this?
Yeah, and Steve, I think so many Americans have that same question. We've got about 20 seconds. Do you think Pam Bondi is going to do anything in regards to prosecuting these individuals?
No, and I think she'll have to be replaced.
Yeah. I think we're getting close to that point at this point because she should have had a plan laid out before taking on this position, and it doesn't look to be that way. Steve, thank you for jumping on with us. Of course, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Folks, the whole Russiagate situation just really infuriates me because we're watching President Trump as he continues to push out there all of these Truth Social posts calling for the arrest of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and yet we don't hear anything from our DOJ, our Pam Bondi. It's time to really consider possibly replacing her. We'll be right back with more.
I've not been very ignorant in my life. I remember being extremely young and not understanding things. I remember being about 4 years old, and I really thought the world was black and white previously, and everything I saw that was color was the future. But suddenly the world became color because I didn't understand that television, most of it was fiction, and the rest of it was just snapshots of limited reality, however they wanted to present it. And I just started thinking about it last night that a lot of the public in a trance state, you know, that believes two men can have a baby and, you know, things like that, a litmus test in the cult that you're under their mind control, if you accept that, they really see the world in something like a four-year-old would. Now, one of my earliest good memories is arguing with my dad when I was 3 years old on Christmas Eve. We had a brick fireplace, red brick, there in Dallas, and it was white mortar, and he was saying, oh, no, Santa Claus comes out of his chimney, you know, like this, just like those two red bricks between the white. He just slips down. I go, well, there's a fire in the fireplace. He's going to catch on fire. And he's so fat, it wasn't that big of a fireplace, it was a small house, he can't fit in there. My dad's like, well, that's how he does it, starts laughing. And I said, Dad, Santa Claus isn't real. So I got that early on. Nobody told me. But still, it was about another year or so, probably by the time I was almost five. I remember, like, sitting there watching The Wizard of Oz with my parents. It had come back in movie theaters. They took me to it. And like, after the movie, I said, so it's black and white at the start, but it becomes color when she goes to Oz. And my mom's like, no, that's just what they did as an effect. They shot it on film in black and white, and then they shot the rest of the movie in color to have that effect. And I went, oh, so the world has always been in color. They said, yes. I'm like, wow.
I've got one that can see.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. You figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to theonlyshowstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history, maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first, and if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. Be right back.
To grab on to your privacy information regarding that, and it's deeply concerning. I've been covering it for years now on how our federal government is taking your biometrics and potentially using it and just distributing it to private companies and other nations. So I was extremely alarmed to receive an email from DHS this week in which they detailed how the United States and Chile have signed a new letter of intent to share biometric identification transnational migration alert program information. And I had a lot of questions in regards to that. So what does it mean? Well, biometrics, we all know what that is. It's your face, your fingerprints. That is now being shared between both countries. Now, it doesn't specifically say whether that means Americans' information is going to be sent to Chile and their government so that they have our biometrics. Again, folks, biometric data is something that should not be shared with other countries. But they do cite security reasons, and they say that's the reason why they're doing this, that this is going to help them catch very violent criminals who are looking to make their way to the United States, and that this is a security issue. Again, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this. I don't know if your data is being given to Chile. I've asked DHS twice for comment on this, and for years now they have not responded about that specific program itself. But again, just this week, twice, didn't respond to me. It's very frustrating because biometrics, this is your information. It should not be given to any countries, and we should be able to know where your biometric data is going. And I tell you all the time, guys, when you go through TSA, when they sit there and they tell you to take a quick photo so you could just go through the TSA line very quickly, I tell you all to reject it. And it's because of my exclusive report I broke to you also last year in regards to TSA. TSA tells you that they delete the image after they capture your biometrics, but in all actuality, I got DHS to admit this. DHS told me last year that they submit a limited amount of those biometric data photos to DHS, and then they delete it. So is DHS creating a database? Well, we still don't know. I've got tons of FOIA requests in on that, and I look forward to breaking that down for you soon. But when it comes to our government and whether you could actually trust them with your data, it's very likely that shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't trust them at all. And I recently posted, of course, the news regarding the U.S. Chile deal. And I was alarmed to learn that this wasn't just exclusively regarding the migration program they've set up. Sarah Adams commented on my tweets, and as many of you guys know, she's the former counterterrorism analyst, and she alerted me that this actually happened in Afghanistan as well. And she joins the show now to discuss. Sarah, I'm excited to have you on the program today because you commented on my post, and it was extremely alarming to hear that the biometric information of people who were helping us in Afghanistan was left behind, if I've got that correct, and it really exposed a lot of these individuals to the Taliban. So break down this, because so many people didn't even know that this took place in the first place.
Yeah, just to be simple, maybe back in like 2007, the U.S. Army made a consolidated database of Afghanistan biometrics. It's not just travel data like with visas that's in there. It also has, if you received a paycheck from the government, your biometrics are in there. If you were pulled over for a speeding ticket or had criminal records, that's in there. So it's a massive database. And when we pulled out of Afghanistan, we left it for the Taliban, and the Taliban have been using that to check the identity of people. And then, of course, if they had served with us, they're capturing them, detaining them, torturing them, and killing a number of them. This week in Kabul, there was a huge surge where they killed a bunch of former Afghan army members. They called into the Kabul office, and once they did biometrics, they were murdered for serving with the U.S. government. It's very horrible.
Yeah, it is awful because a lot of these people did help us. And I know for our audience, you know, we talked about it also, how a lot of these individuals who were looking to flee Afghanistan before Taliban officially took over under the Biden administration, a lot of them we didn't save. We left them behind. And we also took in individuals that we didn't vet properly into the United States and into other countries. And now we're seeing countries like Saudi Arabia who are potentially working out agreements to bring back these individuals to Afghanistan. President Trump saying that he's going to push back on that and try his very best to save those individuals. Your reaction to the potential dangers that are at risk of individuals who helped us out during our war in Afghanistan now being handed back over to the Taliban?
Yeah, it's really a mixed bag, right? We want to keep the people here who are allies, but get rid of those who we did bring terrorists in here. That huge number of people they're talking about is actually in the Emirates. Well, 1,000 of those people had no pathways to the United States. The biometrics were never taken correctly in the Emirates. So I do believe all the vetting needs to be done before we move any of those people either to the United States or back to Afghanistan, right? I mean, this is a complicated situation because we're dealing with terrorists going both ways. And I don't know if you're aware, but Sirajuddin Haqqani, a terrorist, runs the passport office. And as of now, he has issued 40,000 Afghanistan passports to non-Afghan nationals. So that many foreigners have Afghan passports who aren't Afghans, and the U.S. government isn't handling the passport as compromised when, I'm sorry, 40,000 people have it who don't belong. It doesn't belong to them. That's a problem.
Yeah. Sarah, it's a massive problem. And there's been a lot of these issues. I mean, we brought in so many people that we had no idea where they came from. I've reported on the story extensively in regards to the U.S. service member who was sexually assaulted, allegedly on a U.S. military base in New Mexico after we brought in a bunch of these Afghans, again, unvetted by the Biden administration. They just brought them in. And I continuously, and it's not even just the Biden administration, right? Because we have a new administration now in power. And I continuously ask for an update on the investigation into all of this. Were these individuals released into our country after these accusations of sexual assault took place? And unfortunately, even under this new FBI, they're not giving much information to me at all. I mean, that's just putting it nicely. They're not giving me anything. I had a FOIA request denied when I asked for an update. We should know if criminal charges ever amounted in this case. We should know if the service member is still serving, but nobody wants to talk about this. Sarah, I mean, I know you are just as fair as it gets when it comes to being critical of whatever administration's in power. How would you rate the Trump administration's overall performance thus far?
Well, I think they've done a really good job of like deporting illegals who should be here. I think they've done a weak job of deporting terrorists. There's actually a terrorist, a person here they gave a green card to. He provided locational information on me to the Haqqanis that went to Al-Qaeda, right? I reported it. Nothing is done about this individual. So it's very frustrating. So they've been pretty weak on going after the terrorists because obviously they're the harder ones to find. It takes more work. You got to put in the legwork. And we aren't seeing that being done. And I really do think there needs to be some sort of task force that leads that because I don't see the FBI doing it effectively at this point.
Yeah, I don't see it either. And it's really unfortunate that this is, even has to be argued at this point. I mean, I think what we watched as the Biden administration allowed hundreds of individuals into our country who had ties to ISIS, and that was coming from their own DHS. So it's probably even significantly larger the amount that they released into this country. And it's unfortunate because, again, no one's holding these people accountable. And it's just, I feel like we're a ticking time bomb just sitting around waiting to see if something does happen. And I really hope that's not the case. Sarah Adams, you're doing a great job. So I'd highly recommend our audience give you a follow on X as well, because you are calling all of this out. You're doing the digging that we need. So Sarah, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. In case you guys missed it, Jeff Clark, a friend of mine, well, he's been battling the lawfare, and it's been absolutely gut-wrenching to sit here and watch over the last few years. Jeff Clark ran two departments over at the DOJ. He is, like I said, a friend of mine. He is a patriot. He is a fighter. And when they tried their very best to go after Jeff because Jeff wanted to report on election fraud, Jeff refused to come up with their lies. He actually refused to comply and just simply wanted to investigate the tips that were coming in 2020. Now, I have no problem with investigations. If people are giving you tips regarding election fraud, why wouldn't you want to look into it? Well, Jeff Clark joined me and he detailed three specific instances where AG at the time, Bill Barr, shut down election fraud investigation tips and any type of looking into any of the tips that were coming in, I should say more specifically. But on the receiving end of all of this, Jeff Clark has been tortured legally. He just recently was recommended by the DC Bar Board to be disbarred. Not because of anything that he did of substance, not because he actually lied, but they're cooking up lies and they're pretending like that's the reason why Jeff Clark should not be able to practice law in D.C. It's extremely unfortunate, but it just goes to show the many layers of the lawfare machine. It's still going on today. You think new administration, this would end. It's not going to end. Of course, the bar is a conglomerate of liberal hacks. And of course, they want to go after that great patriot. Jeff Clark was one of the co-defendants in the Fulton County criminal case against President Donald Trump. He also had his home raided, and they tried their very best to embarrass Jeff, but Jeff's a patriot, and he will never give in. So I wanted to bring your attention to this because so many people think, because we have a new administration, that everything's okay, but there are still people fighting back on the lawfare. Now, as you recall, Jeff Clark, like I said, ran two divisions over at the DOJ. He wanted to make sure that President Trump knew that there were these tips coming in. And it wasn't just him being targeted, as well as his attorneys, President Trump's attorneys, Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman, who've also felt the lawfare attacks on their rights to practice law. And it's just really unfortunate that's still going on. But keep Jeff Clark in your prayers. This is a patriot. He's going to continue to fight, and we need him in this fight. All right, folks, that does it for this edition of Good Morning InfoWars. If you miss any of the show, it will be replaying on Alex Jones' page. So make sure you give it a look at Real Alex Jones. That's at Real Alex Jones. You can find me over at independentnewsroom.com and on X at Brianna Morello. I'll catch you here again next Saturday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
They all want to mount my head on the wall. Like you've got, you know, that great deer mounted on the wall over there. They want Alex Jones's head on the wall as a symbol to scare everybody else. I mean, they said that in the courthouses and on the courthouse steps. They said, send a message to everybody else. He's patient zero.
Alex Jones is patient zero. He is patient zero for alternative facts.
But the family's attorney says the money is not what matters most.
Money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
I hope that we never see someone like him again. I hope that with your verdict, he can go away.
But the question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
I ask that with your verdict, you not only take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away. I ask that you make certain he can't rebuild the platform. Take him
out.
Yeah. We're going to take him off
Shut
the
up
air
and obey, yeah.
And destroy him, and we're going to scare every one of these other Americans to keep them. I mean, literally, it's like in Bug's Life when the head grasshopper says, yeah, we got all this grain. Why are we going to go beat up the ants? Because one little ant stood up. And he goes, yeah, one little grain doesn't hurt. And he goes, but if they all stand up, he pulls it and it floods them. He goes, if that, those little puny ants outnumber us 100-1, and if they ever figure that out, it's over for us. That's why we're going back to kill that ant.
That's exactly right.
That's it. So I'm just the ant in Bug's Life.
Now, back to our program.